the normal temperatures.
That's
Can
the
I
normal
just
temperature.
Let you know that nothing is normal anymore.
The days of normalcy are gone, Wendy.
I realized I was applauding that we were getting all the way up to 60, and then it's like, well, that's where it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't get it. Crunchy snow when you walk out at 6 in the morning to let your puppy out, and he won't go because all he does is eat the snow.
Yeah.
Come on, dog.
Right. I know.
He's confused, too.
When you say, come on, dog, do you mean it in a
come
street
on,
vernacular
dog.
Way?
Yes.
How do you mean it? D-A-W-G or D-O-G?
It varies.
Both. You can use both.
I like that.
I have to tell you, the show is only a minute and 9 seconds old, and I've already dropped the ball today.
What happened?
Do you know John Williams?
No, I hear he's a great guy.
John Williams is a very nice man, and he does a show right here on this radio station.
Here?
Yeah. I think 8 days a week. I think so.
Hi.
So, hi, John. I was just telling Wendy,
like
I think I dropped the ball because you came for a visit. You stopped into our office, and we talked about everything and nothing.
Right.
And then when you left, I realized there's a topic that Wendy and I wanted to talk to you about, and it totally went through me. I totally forgot to bring it up with you.
Okay.
But you called them and told them to come back.
Please come back, John.
He
come
went
back,
home
Shane,
and came back.
Just so you guys know, full disclosure, I was on Cochran's show from 9 to 9:30.
Oh,
I heard you.
Right. How'd you do?
I had no idea.
He did very well.
He did good.
He did very well.
But that was a half hour. And then if I talk to you guys for, say, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do I then have to do my full show, or do I get to subtract that?
Dude, you get out early from baseball games a lot.
I do.
So I zip it.
Pretty swell.
We found someone who works less hours than we do.
And it's me.
John is the one who brought the White Sox to the station. They had no intention of playing here. And John walked over and he goes, we can make things very nice.
I'm paying them to come here.
All right, so here's the question in a nutshell. What is bucketball?
Bucketball.
So there's two theories of two
you
ways.
You want a word answer?
Well, we think it's you saying basketball funny, but there's also a real game called bucketball.
Oh, it's basketball.
It is basketball.
Well, really, because bucketball is the ultimate beach, poolside, backyard, camping, tailgating, and outdoor game for ages 6 and older. Bucketball is played like beer pong, but on a larger scale and is family friendly, whether at home with family or friends or heading to the beach or social event. Let bucketball provide the fun.
I've never played beer pong. I've never played that kind of bucketball. I don't even know how to play beer pong.
When did you start calling basketball bucketball? And did you trademark this? Because you can make a lot of money.
Do you think so? Do you think people don't know what I mean when I say we're playing some bucketball?
We weren't sure.
Oh, wow.
I assumed.
I thought
shooting
it meant
some buckets.
Yeah, that's what I thought it meant.
Yeah, sure. I was at Binney's Beverage Depot, and I was buying some alcohol.
Now, do you dress, when Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs, goes to Binney's, he still wears his Cubs uniform.
So does Coach Q for Federals.
And I noticed that they had ping pong balls for sale there.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the strangest thing. Why would you have, I don't know. Do they have surfboards here, too? Why do they have ping pong balls at this liquor store?
Yeah.
It took me halfway home before I went, I'll bet it's that game those kids play.
Because I always see it if you're at Mariano's or you're at Jewel and you're in the alcohol department, there's ping pong balls, and you go, well, that doesn't seem the right place for a sport.
I only noticed it at Binney's. Is that a common occurrence?
Yes.
Ping pong balls sold around alcohol?
Why have I not noticed that?
Well, they even have kits,
everywhere.
Beer pong kits.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, but then when I go to Dick's Sporting Goods, there should be a beer section.
Right.
There should
and
be.
And I didn't see one. Then I would have noticed.
Look, Pabst Blue Ribbon right here in the Dick's. How'd that happen? How did that happen?
So do you need me for more? Because the clock is running.
No, I know. No. We don't want to
distract your show.
We just wanted to make sure bucketball was basketball.
Yeah.
He doesn't even say bucket ball. He's like, buckaball.
You say it very cool.
Buckaball.
Yeah.
How did you even notice that I said that? When have I said buckaball around
you? It's in your knee commercial. How's your knee doing?
Oh, no kidding. Do I say that in that commercial?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. It says bucketball?
Yeah.
You said that you're not, because
are you gonna
of
blame
your knee injury, you're not able to play bucketball.
You're going to blame the writers now?
I wrote that spot. I don't even remember. I don't even remember that that's in there.
That's what came up, because I wasn't quite sure that you meant basketball. I assumed that, but you're the only one I know who calls basketball bucketball.
I also now call it table tennis.
Instead of ping pong?
Yeah.
Instead of pong.
Wow. Well, thank you, John.
I'm glad I could
absolutely
clear that up for you.
Always a pleasure to see you, by the way.
I'm a big fan of yours. I'll get out of the way. It's better when I'm
mutually
not here.
Mutually. You see can you. Hear John 1 o'clock, usually to 3, but today just until 2:41, because he's already put in some time. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's much to discuss. So stay here. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. I noticed that something is on your mind that is also on my mind. Prior to the show today, you and I were involved in what the kids like to call a conference call. There's a sponsor, and they say, we're going to sponsor the show. We're going to put together a special giveaway package for your show. So it's you and me, and then it's people from, I counted seven other cities across America. We got to know their morning or afternoon teams. And you and I believe, were the only people on the call that had names that were real. Like, it was from Dayton, it was Melissa and the Spry Guy. We talked to them.
Did you write down
Jennifer
the name?
And the Monster. We had them on. Everybody had, there was always one normal name. Like, I know somebody named Melissa. I know somebody named Jennifer. And then the other person had a name.
Kibbles and Bits.
I'm Trash Bin. Hey, this is Trash Bin calling in from Sacramento.
I felt dirty after
Did
that.
Did you?
I mean, this is a sponsor that we enjoy and yes. love very much and know yes. a lot about. And yet we still... I agree with doing these conference calls just to make sure you're on the same page. If yes. there's any copy changes, whatever. But I feel like radio has evolved. But yeah. then when I get on these little calls, I realize it hasn't.
It's just weird that every time there was a yes or no answer, nobody would ever either say yes or no. They'd go, yeah. Like, it was like a cartoon of radio people. Does everybody understand that? Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah.
I know. I felt really dirty after it was over with.
It was funny, but you couldn't laugh because you're on a conference call.
But I told you that other than checking in saying Wendy Snyder from WGN Radio, I didn't say a word because there were some women that were saying things and I thought you would think they were me.
I assume they were you, yes.
Because typically whenever we do some kind of conference call, I am the one that has some kind of question. I did that in school too. Everybody hated me in my classes.
Yeah, they're the... teacher enablers
kissing,
or something?
I'm not kissing butt.
A Horshack type.
No.
You forgot to
no.
give us homework.
No. It's just I am very anal about things, and if I don't understand things, I'll be like, so do you mean...
Right, and everyone right. else is like, the sooner you stop,
know,
the sooner
I
we're
know.
Done.
I'm that person. Everyone hates me.
The most important part of any one of these, and it's not just a radio conference call. If you're in any kind of business that has a conference call where it's you and people out in the distance, there's that part of the meeting as they're wrapping up where somebody important running the meeting goes, any questions? And then I always just hold my breath.
I know.
Oh, here it comes.
But now, years ago when we started advertising with this particular company, I was the question one.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah, I always, because that just, I want to make sure I'm handling it
yeah.
appropriately.
Right. But they would, you have to know that if you weren't, they would let you know. Right.
Yeah, but I don't like to wait around for it.
You want immediate
results.
If
I have a question, I will ask the right. question and then move along. But now that I'm experienced with these conference calls, I don't even say goodbye or thank you. I'm just done.
Done.
I'm out.
I don't want any more. Right. I know. I also have to tell you, I thought about you yesterday because as I was coming into work, I parked in the parking lot. And I've noticed this over the last couple of years. Regular conversation with somebody that you don't know, like it used to be commonplace. Like if you found yourself occupying the same relative space as somebody else, you might just say good morning or how about this weather or boy, the White Sox, that was a long game, you know, something like
right.
that. But I've noticed now that because everybody has a cell phone, that's kind of vanishing.
You're talking about an elevator ride up, perhaps?
Not an elevator ride up, but as I parked, there was somebody who parked not behind me and not next to me, but I guess it would be kind of almost kitty corner, right?
Thanks for not saying behind, catty corner.
Yeah,
I hate
know,
when people
you know.
Do that.
So a woman gets out and she just says to me, like for no reason at all, boy, this cold snap has got to end soon, right? I guess I appear to look like somebody who knows something about when cold snaps will end. So I said, yeah, it's the middle of April. I would think fairly soon. And then she tells me a story about... she got her son ready for school, and she had to...
You sure this wasn't me?
Well, that's the point of this, is I talked to her all the way from the parking lot up to where I got off on the main floor here, and she continued to ride up. And I said to myself, I'm not being
here
critical at all. I don't know anyone else who's keeping that art form alive other than you, because you always do it, but most people now never do it.
Well, here's the problem when you have a big mouth. You will say that thing in the parking lot, and then if you're walking in together, I don't like dead air from being on the radio for all these years, so I feel like, crap, I opened the door, now I got to keep it going.
That's why I say, ooh, my phone's on vibrate, just got a call.
So I'm not supposed to say I have a pretend phone call, because that's what I usually go.
Absolutely.
Could you hold on? I have a pretend phone call.
Ooh, I've got to take this text.
But, you know, like, there's days that I take the train in. I don't drive and I take the train in. And I remember in the early days of taking the train in, people would talk to each other. Like, while you were waiting for the train, a lot of it was small talk. There wasn't any, we weren't solving any world problems.
Right.
But there was a lot of that going on. And now at the train station, nobody talks.
So do you like that better? Because the pressure's off.
You
just get buried. Like, I still don't love elevator rides.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on with one, if you're with a group, I'm fine. But if it's one other person, I can't help myself. You know that.
You've always done it.
You
just feel something. The need to talk.
I can't stand the dead air. I really can't.
But it's usually, this is a version of it. I love that vest. It's always stuff like that.
Well, you make people feel good and then they talk to you.
Oh.
And I don't lie if I don't like it. Ooh,
what's with that vest?
Weren't thinking this morning. Do you get dressed in the dark? I don't do that.
Hey, your socks don't match. Love that.
But I find myself biting my lip now. If it doesn't look like a person who wants to talk,
right,
then I just look at my phone the whole way up. So at least I have evolved in a way that I try to gauge if it's a receptive person or not.
Right.
And I'm finding more non-receptive people, quite honestly.
I used to have a friend, and we were on the same train, so we waited at the train station together.
Yeah.
And after a couple of weeks, we just kind of spoke bluntly to each other. It's like, look, I don't really like talking to people in the morning, and I know you don't, so let's just nod.
I like that, though. So, at least you're honest.
I'd see Mike, and we'd be like, hey, morning, and then just walk our separate ways.
Steve,
rather than feel like this, well, we have to sit together and talk.
Right,
and,
right. Twice while training back and forth, taking the train from Evanston to here or here to Evanston, during rush hour, they have what they call the quiet car, and there are signs posted.
I get kicked out of that car.
There's a picture of you with a Ghostbusters symbol on it. There's nobody messing around with that.
It's the non-Wendy car.
Right. Don't you Snyder me. I heard people say that. I don't want you to Snyder me. But if you do talk on that car, you get the wrath of every other man, woman, and child on that car. They stare a hole right through you.
That car attracts people who want quiet and people who consider themselves policemen.
Yes. Yes.
It's true.
One of the times I was on it, a guy's phone rang. So it is clearly marked. When you walk on, there are signs posted upon the entrance and then on the other side. This during rush hour, this is the quiet car. So the first time it happened, this guy is on there, and he's a couple of rows behind me and on the other side, and his phone rings, and he picks up, and he goes, Nick, like that, and then he goes, uh-huh. No, we thought, and it was like, I thought they were going to kill him. Everybody on the car, hey, they're pointing at the sign, they're giving him mean looks, hey!
How can people not be aware of their surroundings even if the phone rings?
Well, I've been in that car. It's you. If you're not looking for that sign, sometimes you know, if you're not used to or didn't know it exists, you could mistakenly be on the car.
But there are people in restaurants, too, that just speak so loudly.
Well, that's the thing. Why would you ever talk to anyone on the train where someone else could hear you anyway?
Or you just, like if I get a call, sometimes I get a call when I'm getting on the elevator or something, and it's like, hey, is there any way I can call? I mean, it's hard.
I always do that.
It's hard for me to lower my voice.
Right.
But you do it. And then there's, hey, what's going on? What time are you going to? Oh, right then. Like, hello, we're all here.
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. But going back to the beginning, it's almost becoming a lost art of just being courteous and conversational. And I probably will never see that person again, that woman again, but it was just a nice couple of moments. Nothing major was discussed. It was a little bit of weather, a little bit about the building. I said at some point, I go, are you moving? I don't even know what she does in the building. I go, are you leaving the building too? Because for people who don't know, our station is leaving in about a month. We'll be in a different building.
We got evicted.
So, yeah, we got evicted. So she said, yeah, I think we've got 6 more weeks and I'm already packing my stuff and I've only been here a year and a half, so I don't have that much stuff. But some of the people I work with have boxes and boxes. And I went, I miss this because of cell phones. Nobody just does that anymore.
I need to meet her. I would like her. She is much like me.
I should have given her your number. Hey, next time you're coming in, if you're lonely, here's somebody you should meet.
I'd still be in the elevator talking.
I know.
God love her.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a full show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
He is the vice president of lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L. Mortgage, I'm not spelling that. David Hochberg is with us.
Hi.
Hi, David. Nice to see you.
It's great outside, isn't it? It's great to be here.
Yes.
Just great.
Look at this positive attitude, Wendy. That's what I like to
see. Did you win $1 million in the Jewel Monopoly? Why are you in such a good mood?
I got into a pair of 38-inch pants today.
Congratulations.
You do look great.
And it hurts, but I got into them. Yeah, it was a struggle. I had a couple of come-alongs there up in the locker room after I showered. I'm like, well, probably shouldn't have picked these. So did a little breathing exercise.
Are they Sansa belt?
No.
Those are so nice.
Those good polyester Sansa belt pants back in the day.
David, if you want to bring in several pairs of pants and during our segment, just try them on.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
That'll be fun.
During the 9-10 o'clock hour on what's it called? CLTV. While they are broadcasting that, simulcasting.
That would be excellent. All right, we'll start doing that from now on.
If you're wondering what the come-alongs are, I have. That's why I had to get them into my pants to zip them and button them.
David, hi. What is the VA fact of the day? This is something I know that you're affiliated with, but I don't know what it is.
Yes, it is a new program that we started, a new project we started on our website, WGNDavid.com. You could go there to register. We have a veterans button where you could just click on the button and register for the VA loan tip of the day. There's Pearl Mortgage hired a Vietnam veteran who has originated VA loans for over 30 years. He's married to a lady who works in an underwriting department at one of the largest banks in the United States that underwrites VA loans. So you can imagine how exciting their conversation is when they get home. Hey, you won't believe what I got today. Mm-hmm. But he has over 635 different tips. VA loan tips.
And a lot of veterans have no idea about the programs they have available to them,
right.
Correct?
A lot of realtors don't know about VA loans tips. And that's why I'm putting a shout out right now, right? VA loans, we have hundreds of thousands of veterans coming home from Afghanistan and Iran and other countries. They're going to be cycling back. We have millions of veterans currently right here in the Chicagoland area that qualify for VA loans. We have surviving spouses of veterans that got killed in action while they were serving our country that qualify for VA loans that have no idea that they have eligibility for the VA to secure these type of loans. Zero down, no PMI. Great, great, great loan products, low rates, absolutely outstanding program. So we're getting it out there. We have Vietnam and Korean War and Gulf One, Gulf Two veterans that have qualified for VA loans, and they don't know that they are eligible to secure these type of loans. These men and women fought for our country, were in harm's way, and they have no idea. So we set up this program. It's one a day. I've got a other mailing lists that we send people, you know, stuff when we have seminars. We're not going to do any of that. If you want this information, it's a tip a day. We're going to set it out, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, whatever the IT people say is a good time to send it. But you have to register to get the tip. So all you have to do, it's free, right? All you have to do is go to WGNDavid.com. It's a complimentary tip of the day. We're going to send it out Monday through Friday. We're not going to bother you on the weekends. It's transferable. You could send it to your friend in Maine. You could send it to your friend in San Diego, Hawaii, Anchorage, Alaska, or Key West, Florida. It's the same information. You want us to do your loan? Great. Pearl's licensed in 33, soon to be 35 states. We'd be more than happy and honored to originate your VA loan.
And what may very well happen is somebody will pick up on a tip or two or three that they weren't aware of
Absolutely.
And save themselves a bunch of money.
Absolutely.
And as you pointed out, the process should be a lot easier for the vets than it is. It shouldn't be harder. It should be easier.
Well, and it is an easy process. It's just that the vets don't know that they qualify for these type of programs. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for the vets. Again, it's for the realtors out there that might have some false conceptions about VA loan. They're tougher to do. No, they're not. And this is also for the parents of veterans that are serving our country. Why don't you sign up and get the tip so when your son or daughter or maybe nephew or niece or grandson or granddaughter come home, you can be like, hey, I've accumulated these 100 tips over the past 4, 5, 6 months. Did you know that you have access to all of these benefits? And I'll bet you a coffee in any coffee shop, because I know that you enjoy coffee, Bill. That the information that we're going to be putting out, they have no idea. Okay, so go to WGN David, clip on the Veterans tab. All you have to do is clip on Veterans. A drop-down list will drop down, say register for the VA tip. Just put your information in. We're not going to solicit you for anything else. Just going to be for the VA tip. We already have 350 people. We launched it about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been on since we launched it, so thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. It's a great idea.
I lunched with the guys over at Joe's about 2-3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and he's like, did you know this? I'm like, no. I go, did you know that? And I said, no, I didn't know that. I said, well, I thought it was this. He's like, well, that's kind of right, but, you know, you could do this. And I'm just like, holy smokes. I'm like, we need to do a VA tip of the day. He's like, I got 635 of them, no problem. So we could keep people going for at least two and a half, 3 years if you knock out the weekends and the holidays.
That was the first time I did math.
That was good. I was very impressed.
That was very impressive.
Yeah, no slide rule or abacus. That was great. That was awesome.
Why are you so invited? It's, you know, other people who do this sort of thing, they served some time. They put their time in. You did not. Why are you so involved in this?
I love veterans. You know, I get to do what I get to do, which is helping people with their mortgages, because other men and women have gone overseas and fought bad people, so I have the freedoms to do what I do. Yeah. I've never served our country, right? You, in the shape that I'm in right now as a 51-year-old individual, the only thing you want me serving you is like macaroni and potatoes through a, you know, through a food line, right? Forget about it. All right? I'm done. Okay, I got my so how I could give back is by donating my time, by donating my resources, which is my money, and donating my information out there. So, you know, the information I have to other people. That's why Wednesday, I did it on Steve's show at the end of last year. Mark Doyle was in here with Brandon Marty. Every Wednesday, I said, I'm gonna dedicate my commercials on Wednesdays to veterans. And I have. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've done exactly what I said. All the live reads on Wednesdays on this station and the other 7, 8, 9 stations I advertise on are dedicated to veterans, to bring awareness to Veterans Roasters Coffee. Mm-hmm. That we send out as a promotional item, right? To just they're hiring underemployed and homeless veterans and underemployed veterans and give them a job. So listen, we're buying 150 bags of coffee at a time to send out as promotional items to people that I come in contact with, people I talk with. Hey, you know what? This is the Veteran Roasters organization that I talk about on the radio, and here's a coupon, by the way, for 50% off the second bag that you buy. Just put in Team Hochberg and you get 50% off. Why? Because I have the resources to do it. Why? Because I never served and I'm never going to serve, and this is my way of giving back to the men and women and the parents and the families of the men and women who have served.
Very noble.
It is really a good thing you do.
Well, it feels good. Listen, it feels good. I'm in a position to be able to do it. So we do it, right? And, you know, every Wednesday, it's one day a week, promote veteran organizations. So we promote Rags of Honor. We do the Veteran Roasters. Mark Slaby, a good friend of the program that has the Illinois Patriot Education Fund. We're going to be promoting his organization. He's got his golf outing coming up. Mm-hmm. And other veteran organizations that I support, you know, it's good to do. Because these men and women have given so much for our country, and it's the least that I could do to give back.
Do you golf?
I own clubs. I don't know if what I own clubs and I buy a lot of golf balls.
You don't look like a golfer.
I golf? I go. I drive around in a cart and I hit a ball. I don't know if what
that's
you.
Would consider, I think that's golfing.
Yeah,
that is golfing.
I have a good time. It's a nice day. I wear sunscreen and bug spray. I mean, then. I usually put three golfers in the carts that know how to golf.
Yeah.
And I just go there and just chew the heck out of the golf course.
See, that's the mistake you're making. Find guys that are worse than you, because then your game will look so much better.
Yeah, I don't think that...
It's hard to find three guys that are worse
than me. You need to get blindfolds for the other three guys. No, I enjoy going out, and I'm not... This body wasn't built to golf. It was built to pick things up. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. He's David Hochberg.
He's vice president of lending at Pearl Mortgage. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. He's on Instagram.
He's on caffeine.
Yes, he is. We're going to continue. I have a question for you when we come back. But how do people reach you if they need you?
Very simple. WGNDavid.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333, 14 licensed loan officers on Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage, ready to answer all your questions and handle all of your real estate needs.
What's your NMLS number?
1366675.
Excellent.
You want it backwards?
Yes.
All right, you got to go to break, and then I got to write it down. I don't remember.
All right, if you need to talk to David or us, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
They're great.
They're great. They've been out to the house a lot because we have a new puppy.
Yeah, they've been out to our house, too. Not just because of puppy stains, but for other stains.
That's personal.
No, not those types of stains. No, they're phenomenal. If you've never used them, you got to have them.
Amazing.
You got to bring them out. Yeah, they're
very also
reasonable.
Safe for people and pets is David Hochberg, the vice president of lending over at Pearl Mortgage. WGNDavid.com is his website. A thinner, trimmer version of you, David.
Yeah.
We're not used to seeing
I'm trying.
You
I'm eating better. Trim. I'm exercising. I'm lifting.
What's the incentive? Why are you doing this?
I entered into a weight loss contest with the... I'm spinning. I'm doing spinning classes.
Are you spinning?
I'm spinning, and it's great. It's right by your home in Northfield. If you
want over in the Spin District.
Yes, in the Spin District. If you want to come over behind Mariano's for a complimentary spin class.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'd love to have you in there.
That'd be fun.
So I'm spinning 4, 5, 6 times a day, and I bet the... we have a little wager, friendly wager with the studio owner's husband.
Yeah,
his name's Jeremy Hafner. He's kind of puffy and needs to lose some weight like I do.
Wow.
And he was complaining about his weight gain, so I'm like, all right, fat boy, let's put the money on the line. So we've got a couple of there's a financial incentive over the next 20 days.
Certainly not an encouraging incentive, as you say, fat boy.
Yeah, right.
No, wow. I didn't say fat. He's a little soft, but you know,
what would he call you? How would he refer to you?
The fat old man.
The fat old man.
Yeah, that's what he calls me, and I call, you know, he's 10 years younger, and it's fine. It's all right. Well, we have another 20 days to go. I'll whip his rear end and get his $300.
You look great.
Thank you. I'm trying.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You have refinanced our mortgage.
Countless times.
At least 5 times.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And so I do it with you, Pearl Mortgage, but then I have another company that is my mortgage holder, and they are now sending me emails saying that they can reduce our interest rate. What do I do?
What do? You call your loan originator, because basically what happens is we originate your loan at Pearl, and then we transfer it to another company to service the loan. That servicing company is the company that is soliciting you, saying that they could refinance you. Yeah, they can refinance you, right? You get that shiny little placard, hey, we could refinance you, but I know the rate you have, and I know the rate today, and the rate today is 3/4 of a point higher than the rate we put you into last year. So what people get caught up in is that shiny 3x5 or 4x6 or 8x10 placard that they get in the mail from people that they don't know, and they think it's from the mortgage professional that put them in the loan, and it's not. It's from the end lender. Most likely, it's from the end lender that bought the servicing rights of that loan. And yes, you could refinance, but you're not going to get a lower rate. So
Why do they say that then?
Because they want you to call them.
I guess, yeah. But then why would they win that business if you go, well, that's not lower, I'm good where I am?
Why would another mortgage company say they have the lowest rates, you know, the lowest closing costs out there, and our closing costs are $1,000
less
than theirs? Why is there the Rocket Loving Lending Company tell you that they're the lowest rate and the lowest cost, and when I call to get a loan for myself, they're $5,000 more in closing costs and 1/4 point more in the rate on a loan that I could get borrowers and
maybe it
listeners.
Was just a bad day when you called.
Then it's every day. It must be a bad century.
David,
you
I got
call.
One. Why do yes. fools fall in love?
Because they can. And they don't need a mortgage because they're fools.
Think they do. Right,
right,
they're fools.
Right, and they're fools of cash. So yeah. So it's just buyer beware. Obviously, you hear it on the radio, and obviously you hear it at, you know, you hear an ad while you're pumping gas, push this button and you'll get a mortgage. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, you know, in the 2.5 minutes it takes you, or the minute and a half it takes you to fill up your tank, you know, push this button and you'll get a mortgage. Oh, sure, right.
Right.
I wish it was that flippin' easy.
Does the market change so quickly, though, that maybe one day of the week or 2 days of the week, it's not a good idea to refinance?
No.
But, and then a day or two later it is? Does it happen that quickly?
No, it could happen while we're sitting here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had people, I'll give you a perfect example. We had individuals that we did approvals for in November and December, mm-hmm. right? And the rates were in the threes in November and December. Well, mm-hmm. since the beginning of the year, the rates have now inched up into the mid-fours. You can go to FreddieMac.com, even though there's a jackass on the radio saying, if you're not in the threes, call me. Okay, mm-hmm. well, that's a blatant lie. Doesn't tell you the loan program or the cost it's going to take you to get down to the threes. Well, if Freddie Mac average is at like 4.5% and somebody's quote saying, call me if you're not in the threes, there should be flyers going up, red flag, okay?
Yeah.
So markets change every single day. There's men and women at the bond market that are trading 10-year bonds that basically control what happens with a 30-year fixed loan. That goes on all the time. If there's a terrorist attack, God forbid, boom, okay, the rates are going to get better. If there's good economic news that comes out, rates are going to get worse typically, right? Yeah. And so it happens on a snap there, Bill. You know, so it's not like Monday's always got the lowest rates. It's not like buying airline tickets. Thursday at 12 o'clock, right, everything goes on sale,
it's
or whatever that is.
Of what's happening.
It's a current market. So yeah, if something catastrophically terrible happens, mm-hmm, and we have a, God forbid, a terrorist attack like a 9/11, the markets will crash, rates will drop, people will take their money out of treasury, put it into bonds for securities, just to be simplistic here, and the yield will go down, the 30-year fix will be reflected. Okay, what happened? That's what happened over the past, you know, previous 10 years. Now the economy's turned the corner and things are getting better. That's why the interest rates are going up. Mm-hmm. You know,
I just got a notice saying my HELOC interest rate went up a quarter point again.
There you go.
Thank you, Obama.
Oh,
it's all on him.
Right, it's all him. Thank you, Obama.
That and El Nino. You got to figure that out.
And Clinton. And it's Hillary's fault, too.
Right? For the James Madison. That's I bet he plays into it.
And Hamilton. That pain in the rear end, too. Yeah. He's got to play.
Please ask Hochberg. I own my home but have a home equity loan. It's up next year. What should I do?
Start looking at it right now, sister or brother. Yeah, you don't wait on that. Because what happens? Everybody calls us. Yeah, my home equity line, they won't take my payment. I'm like, well, how long have you had... You know, you've been getting letters the past 6 months? Yeah. I'm like, well, you know.
How long do they last typically?
About 10 years.
Okay.
Typically about 10 years. So he or she does have a mortgage, because a home equity line of credit or home equity loan is a mortgage against your house. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to roll it into another home equity line of credit, depending upon the value and depending upon the value of your home and the balance of your mortgage,
yes,
you can.
Yes.
Okay, it might make more sense for some people to roll it into a 30-year fixed loan or a 5 or 7 year ARM and lock it in. If you're only going to be in your home 5 years, it's a good option. Dropping into an adjustable rate mortgage, saving 3/4 to a half a point.
Like a hot towel?
I would like multiple hot towels. Okay. And a couple of cold ones.
Real quick one here. I got my loan through you, Pearl Mortgage, like me. It was sold to another place. Now I'd like to drop my PMI, private mortgage insurance. Can you tell me, do I have to go through them or do I contact you?
You should call us first. Here, the simple answer is contact the real estate professional that puts you into the house to make sure that there is equity in the home, because a realtor will know that because they dance on that dance floor every single day. If the realtor thinks that there's enough value there, you have 80% equity, 20% equity in your home and your loan to value is at 80% or lower, you could petition your lender directly by writing them and saying, hey, I've been a good client. I just talked to my real estate professional. They're saying that these three homes recently sold in my area. I should be able to qualify to drop the PMI. Please do some research. It'll take them about 3, 4, 5 weeks to do it. You'll get a letter saying yes, no. Might have to order an appraisal. Might not. But that's what I would tell the texter to do.
Awesome.
That's David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. He'll help you lower your PMI while he lowers his BMI. David, it's always good to see you.
Thanks so much. You are always on fire, aren't you?
You should look at doing comedy.
No, there's no future in that. Thanks so much, David. Appreciate it.
312-751-1333.
A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, Rich Lenkoff is joining us right now. Rich, a frequent guest to the show, an attorney over at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff LLC.
Which one is he?
Which one are you, Rich?
I am... strangely enough, the Bryce.
Are you Bryce? Yes. I did not see that
it's
coming.
It's weird how that works.
Did not see that coming. All right, so there's a bunch of stories that have legal ramifications, and who better to turn to than you? Let's start out with a very recent event, this tragedy on a Southwest Airlines. What goes on now between the family of this woman who died very, very tragically and the airlines? Do their lawyers come to them? Who comes to who to figure out how they settle this?
Yeah, I mean, inevitably, Southwest will... among their first priorities will be to deal with the family, quite appropriately.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of, for example, the case involving Disney a couple of years ago, where the child was...
with the alligator.
Yeah, with the alligator. You know, almost immediately that was settled.
And then is there some sort of a non-disclosure that takes effect? Because that, I haven't seen that family comment on it since.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, part of the settlement would be a non-disclosure agreement. That's typical in any settlement. I do those every day. The reason, obviously, is being, you know, you don't want as a company to disclose how much you're settling for. Part of the consideration in settling is you're getting money, and what you're giving up is the right to disclose that to others.
Right.
In this case, in Southwest, back to your question, no question, Southwest has already obviously been in contact with the family, and among the discussions will be a resolution of the civil liability, you know, taking away any criminal or, you know, NTSB fines that will happen. There's obviously civil liability, and the family will initiate a lawsuit against Southwest for negligence, among other things, for the, you know, damages caused by this death. So to get ahead of that, Southwest, to your point, will probably make an offer. And whether the family accepts or not just depends on them.
God, what do you offer?
Them.
You know what I mean?
It's a tough call because you have to try to figure out the pain and suffering amount of this, and that's not easy to do, but that's part of it, right?
It's a great question. I mean, when you go to a jury in these cases, one of the elements of damages is pain and suffering. And what they look at, like literally down to the minute, is how long the decedent, the woman in this case, was alive before she died, you know, between the time that this incident with the engine occurred and the time
and
that she died.
Whether or not she was unconscious.
Exactly.
Right? You
exactly.
need to know that.
Right. How much conscious pain she was in, whether she was
poor
unconscious.
Thing.
So, you know, it's a difficult thing to quantify, but at trial, if this ever went to trial, the plaintiff's attorney would ask the jury to compensate the family for the pain and suffering this woman had to undergo, whether it was a minute, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. So that's definitely an element. And then there's, you know, the other elements for the surviving members of the estate.
And also, I know that it's an accident and it's a terrible, tragic accident, but then some investigation found evidence of metal fatigue where a fan blade had broken off. This according to the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board. A similar incident was recorded in 2016 involving a Southwest flight that landed safely in Florida. So now fan blades are going to be inspected, I guess, at a higher rate and more frequently. It could show negligence.
Definitely. I mean, the question of negligence is, you know, generally goes to what notice, if any, the defendant had of a defect. In this case, if it went to trial, the plaintiff would prove, using the evidence that you just talked about, Wendy, that this company, the Southwest, knew about it, and maybe the builder of the plane knew about these issues and didn't sufficiently take steps to avoid this kind of tragedy. There's no question that there's some negligence exposure. Back to Bill's point, you know, Southwest, to get ahead of this, would probably offer a settlement to resolve the issue.
It's in their best interest to get this.
And they had a fantastic safety record. I mean, this really is tragic for the victim and her family. But, I mean, Southwest has not had any other incident.
Yeah, 56-year history of no fatalities.
One child died right out of Midway Airport when that plane crash landed there, just sitting in his family car near Midway. But on board, no other accident.
Right. I mean, excellent safety record, which, you know, will certainly help their cause in trying to prove that this is not a pattern, right? Obviously, any defendant who has a track record of similar acts in the past, that will play against them when they claim that they had no notice of it. If someone, you know, Southwest was having this happen all the time and they were ignoring the risks, then that would obviously be a factor against them when the case went to trial. But, you know, to answer your question, Bill, if Southwest was my client, and I've had many similar cases like this, I would counsel them to get ahead of it, obviously, to, you know, offer a settlement to the family who's obviously dealing with a terrible tragedy. You know, PR effect, obviously, of this being in the news is devastating to a company like Southwest. So besides, obviously, dealing with the safety issues, they'll want to deal with the publicity effects of the case as well.
In similar cases, Rich, they also take into account the person's age, the fact that she has two young children. That plays a role in all this, too, doesn't it?
No question. I mean, you know, the more surviving family members, you know, that will elevate the value of the case. You know, you hate to talk about family members being a factor in the value of a case, but at the end of the day, when putting a dollar figure on the loss, you've got to look at, to your point, those factors. You know, how many survivors are there, how many years they will have to live without their mother, how dependent they were. You know, obviously, the younger you are, the longer you will have dependency on your missing parents. So that all augments the value of their case.
In a case that's both very similar and very different. We're going to look at this this water park case. This child, was he 10? I can't remember.
10 years old.
10 years old, who got decapitated at a water park a little while ago. That's about to go to trial, right?
It's going, yeah, trial. We covered this on our show on Legal Face-Off last week. The trial began, well, there's actually a preliminary hearing. The trial will start shortly. And what's unusual about this case is that, you know, prosecutors are charging the designer, and I believe the owner as well, criminally for this accident. There is some evidence that the prosecutors have already put forth that they were aware of issues with this particular slide. They were rushing it into production to, you know, meet a record. You know, this slide is taller than the Empire State Building, taller than the Eiffel Tower. And there is apparently pretty strong evidence that the designer knew about these issues, wasn't ready for the public to use it,
yeah,
rushed it into production, leading to this incredibly tragic event involving, yeah, this 10-year-old who was decapitated.
So the blame can go on either the park owner, the amusement park owner, it could go on the designer, or it could be split up somehow, right?
That's no question. That's a great point. You know, when you're dealing with a products liability situation, which this ultimately is, there's many defendants upstream from the beginning who get sued. And, you know, for obvious reasons, both substantively, there can be many hands in a poorly or negligently designed product. But also from a practical perspective, you know, as a plaintiff's lawyer, you want everyone in the party. You want everyone in the lawsuit, because that is more people that you can sue. I am, you know, defending my clients every day. That shouldn't really be in a case, but because they're a big name, they're brought in, and, you know, frequently we get them out.
Yeah.
But as a plaintiff's lawyer, you want to bring in as many parties as possible, both, again, substantively to prove the elements of your case, but also practically to have more parties who are there to pay.
More with Rich Lankov in just a moment. But first, I need to tell everybody about the new bedding that I've discovered. It's Brooklinen.com. You spend a whole lot of your life, a third of your life, in your sheets. They make a difference on how you sleep. You already know that. So start getting a better sleep at Brooklinen.com. Upgrade your nightly routine and feel more well-rested every day. Brooklinen's philosophy is so, so simple. They have beautiful, comfortable home essentials, but no crazy prices. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Can you believe it? Not Brooklinen, though. This is luxury bedding, and it's underpriced on top of it. You have to try these sheets today. Our Brooklinen sheets are by far the most comfortable sheets we've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer, but only for our listeners. You will get $20 off and free shipping. That's right, and free shipping when you use the promo code BILL at Brooklinen.com. They are so confident, Brooklinen is, that they're going to offer you, I'm sorry, a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. But the only way to get your $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code Bill. My name, Bill, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, Brooklinen.com. The promo code is Bill. Save yourself some money. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Rich Lankov is our guest, an attorney of law over at Bryce Downey & Lankov LLC. There's some confusion on which one of the three he is. We will have that cleared up for you soon. He's also one of the hosts on the WGN Plus podcast, Legal Face-Off. Are all lawyers this week talking about Michael Cohen? Have you had a conversation with a single attorney who's not mentioned Michael Cohen this week?
Even lawyers who are also named Michael Cohen, who are not the Michael Cohen, we're talking about them too. They're enjoying a renaissance this week. As you can imagine, there's lots of lawyers named Michael Cohen.
All right, there's 1,000 questions to ask about him. Let's get to the bare bones part of it. I assume by now everybody's familiar with him and his clients, which may or may not include the current president of the United States and Sean Hannity.
What's the big deal if it is Sean Hannity? I'm sorry I've missed this.
So, yeah, on Monday in the hearing before Judge Wood in federal court in Manhattan, one of the disclosures that really shocked a lot of people was that one of the three clients mentioned besides Trump and this other guy was Sean Hannity. The reason I think a lot of people were shocked, I mean, a couple things. Ethically, I think, you know, as a journalist, I think people were surprised.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's a conflict, right? When you are supposed to be fair and balanced, right, as Fox News reports to be.
But they're not. No one thinks they are.
Yeah, and you're covering this, you know, massive story, and you don't disclose that, by the way, I'm also a client of this attorney. Now, on the flip side, I agree it's really not that big of a deal if you do take Sean Hannity's statement on face value that he wasn't really, you know, his lawyer. He consulted on a real estate deal. No money was passed, was transacted. Now, I think what Sean Hannity doesn't necessarily understand, or maybe, you know, is not projecting, is that it doesn't matter if money is paid for legal advice. They could still be your lawyer. I mean, you
know. But he used a phrase that I'm very curious about. Sean Hannity said that in his discussions with Michael Cohen, they never discussed a third party. Can you have a discussion with anybody about anything without discussing a third party?
Well, you mean
a legal discussion of any kind?
For like for attorney-client privilege to attach? I mean, that's, you know, a lot of this is tied up with attorney-client privilege, which, you know, is being thrown around a lot. And I think, you know, it's important to remember. Especially when it comes to the Hannity case, and obviously when it comes to Trump, because the hearing on Monday in federal court was based on what the government can do with the evidence they seized from Michael Cohen's hotel room and from his residence and from his office, and whether privilege attaches. And I think by now a lot of your listeners have probably heard. And I think it's a great point to understand when attorney-client privilege attaches. It doesn't attach every time you have a discussion with an attorney. There is an exception that doesn't allow the privilege to attach when the attorney and the client are talking about some criminal action, right? That's number one. And number two, it doesn't attach to every communication. If one of the parties discloses it, then that breaks the privilege itself. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion about whether the information seized will be disclosed, whether it will be allowed to be used as evidence with the federal government. Notably, Judge Wood said that the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, was unimpeachable, which I think is strong support for their position. So we'll see what happens, but I think Michael Cohen's in trouble for sure.
All right. So one of the allegations is that Michael Cohen, and I think he admits to this part, that he took money out of his own account to give to Stormy Daniels. You know a lot of attorneys. You're an attorney. Is this even remotely commonplace? Do attorneys ever, without consulting the person who could be involved...
It's like, I got this one. No worries. It seems ridiculous.
Does that ever happen, ever? I mean,
I've paid off a lot of porn stars in my legal career.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I never use my own funds. No, I mean, listen...
That doesn't happen, right?
It's laughable to say that it's common to pay off anyone out of your own funds. I mean, there's
ethical... I'm going to hire him as my attorney if he's going to pay the bills up front.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's ethical reasons why you wouldn't do it, but also, why would you? I mean, you know, there's no reason why you would do that except for, in this case, because you wanted to create some separation between yourself and the president.
Yeah.
I think the obvious reason in this case is because, you know, Trump wanted her paid off, but obviously did not want a paper trail between his attorney and himself. So that's why Cohen paid her off separately. But to answer your question, I've never seen it. I've never done it. No one I know has ever done it. It's unethical and it's completely bizarre to pay off someone out of your own funds without the expectation of it being paid back. And, you know, it's even more strange when you think, when you hear Michael Cohen say that, oh, this wasn't a payoff to keep silent. Well,
right.
Why else would you pay $130,000 if not to gain that back? So it's completely unbelievable.
And I'm surprised the Supreme Court would not hear the appeal by former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Are you surprised?
I kind of am. Patty went on TV to, you know, say, listen, she went on Fox TV knowing that our president would watch it and mentioned Scooter Libby saying, you know, if there's anything you can do, which was a smart move. I think this is a very long sentence, 14-year sentence for what Rod Blagojevich has done.
14 years, six left to serve. It was denied certiorari by the Supreme Court earlier this week, which simply means they refused to hear the appeal.
At least go through the motions and listen.
Well, it's the second time they've refused it. You know, they would have to have some extraordinary reason, you know, some abuse of discretion by the lower court to take up the case. Now, we've had Len Goodman, who's Blagojevich's lawyer, on the show. We've had many professors discuss the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have taken it up, no question, because there's enough uncertainty in the law, and some of the cases that the Supreme Court have decided lead to this uncertainty. There's really no clarity now, if you're a public official, as to what you can do in terms of talking about, you know, fundraising and the things that Blagojevich was convicted of doing, there's cases that have exonerated people for doing far worse mm-hmm. than what Blagojevich yeah. did. So I think the Supreme Court should have taken it up. I mean, the Supreme Court likes to take cases where there is lack of clarity on big issues. This fits that definition. Whether they would have found for him is a different question, but they should have at least taken it up
right.
and clarified the issue once and for all. It's a big issue. It involves, you know, almost every elected official. I think they made a mistake.
So this is this his very last chance at appeal? There's yeah. no barring unless Trump, a presidential pardon, yeah. right?
The that's only the remedy only he has left is a presidential pardon by Trump.
Do you think he'll do it?
I don't think he will. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot. I mean, there's hundreds of presidential, you know, pardons every term.
Usually at the end.
Yeah.
Usually at the end. You know, the Scooter Libby was an exception. I think that was a very deliberate exception by Trump to show, hey, if you're going to go to bat for me, then I will pardon you. It was no mistake what the timing of that was in relation to the Michael Cohen case. But will Trump pardon Blagojevich? I don't think so. You know, I think he should. I think it's
really?
A
yeah.
Well, I think, and I've covered this extensively in our show. I've been, you know, not shy about saying, I think it's ridiculous the amount of time he got.
Me too.
14 years, unprecedented. You know, for someone simply talking about doing something, no money exchanged hands. There was no gold watches or Michael Jackson gloves yeah. or fur coats that we've heard about. You know, with other
he sounded
elected
like
officials.
A tough guy, but never did it.
But right. isn't it kind of one of those things where you're sending a message to other politicians, most notably future governors of the state of Illinois?
No question.
Just to say, you yeah. know, watch yourself because we're watching.
Yeah, I mean, right? I think there's value to that. Judge Zagel, you know, who sentenced Blagojevich, certainly wanted to send a strong message to other elected officials, but has it worked? I mean, we've seen countless examples sure. of public officials caught doing similar things, even worse things since then. You know, we've got, what, 4 out of the last 10 Illinois governors who have served time in a yeah. federal jail. Whether
makes me
it will
proud.
Achieve its desired effect, who knows? But I
shouldn't
think it
there
was,
just be a jail just for former Illinois governors somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of room here on Michigan Avenue.
Right. Hello, Governor.
Maybe the studio we're in once
we
vacate here.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Public shaming.
Yeah, the windows are right on Michigan Avenue. It's great. Rich, thank you so much. It's Rich Lenkoff, everybody. Attorney at Law over at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff LLC. The podcast, the WGN Plus podcast, is called Legal Face-Off. It's a good thing to listen to. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, then some news, and then our friend Dean Richards live in person in studio.
I can't wait.
It'll be nice. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's live in the studio. Very excited.
That's what makes today's visit different from most visits.
Right.
Is that here you are.
I'm here.
You're not a hologram. This is really you.
Yeah, but for everyone except the two of you, it's like, what's the big deal?
I know, but we just like to see you.
It's the same thing.
I liked seeing you on the WGN 70th anniversary special. You did a wonderful job.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. And my specialty of Dean living in the past.
Mm-hmm. One of the best places to live.
It is.
There's always candy canes and happiness
in the past. It's a great place.
Yeah.
Can I pay you a huge compliment? You made me laugh so hard last week. You were talking on Steve Cochran's show with Steve about the Russian tape, the alleged Russian tape. And you said the fun thing about these Russian tapes, these alleged Russian tapes, is because they're Russian, there's a smaller tape inside that one. And
oh, that was
funny.
The nesting tapes.
That was good stuff.
Thanks. And I repaid the compliment to you by having Kevin Hart on my show, who I know is your favorite comedian.
Favorite comedian of all time, yeah.
I know. He was in Chicago last Saturday.
Yeah.
And while I'm talking to him, literally while I'm talking to him, it's like, I hope Bill's not watching this right now.
Boy, you got into Dean's head.
I didn't mean to get in your head.
That didn't stop me from replaying the interview about six times.
Of course.
Between now and then. But it's like one of these little internal jokes that you have for yourself. It's like, I hope Bill's not listening.
No.
In a way, I sort of want to call him right now and say, Bill,
great.
Turn the radio on right now.
And everybody has somebody like this where everybody in the world seems to enjoy them, and you just go, what am I missing? I must be missing something. What is it?
complete hilariousness.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Do you like him, Wendy? I'm going to say by the look of...
I don't care either way.
This is good that I'm here, that I can see the looks on your faces. Wendy just, I think, threw up in her mouth a little bit right now.
He was funny the first time. Was he on twice on SNL?
Two or three times.
Okay, because the first couple times, this last time he wasn't funny to me, and I was like, what is the big deal? He's okay. I don't dislike him at all. He doesn't do much for me. I hear from everyone that he's terribly nice.
He's very, very nice, and that may be part of it. I may have somewhat have drank the Kevin Hart Kool-Aid a little bit.
But wasn't it your interview? Oh, go on.
But also, I just like he's completely silly. He's yeah. like a out of control
toddler,
little 8-year old, right? Or, you know, 5-year old, something that won't stop telling jokes, regardless of whether they're funny or not. It's still kind of I still find it kind of amusing. His voice goes up when he's Dean, I don't want to even get into his voice because it starts to sound offensive, but. I like him.
Wasn't it during your interview with him, though, where he said, like, it came up what happened during the Super Bowl when the Eagles won. And he said, I believed that the people of Philadelphia wanted to see me with the Super Bowl
that's
trophy.
That's right.
I'm not positive that's accurate.
He also said in that interview that he was pretty drunk.
Yes.
So that may have been his perception at the time.
All right.
And also said in that interview that if the 76ers win, are they still in the finals right now?
I think they're still involved.
In the playoffs, because he was super excited about that.
Yeah.
He said that he will do exactly the same thing again.
I felt sorry for him. I really did.
He couldn't get past security. They didn't know who he was, and that messed with him major.
So this is part of why I like him, though. He's trying to be near the statue.
Right.
The statue was right behind him the whole time, and he didn't know it. And as he acknowledged in the interview, all I had to do was turn around. It was right there. But he was trying to push past these big security guards.
I know. They would have none of it.
They weren't having any of it. I don't care who you think you are.
That's embarrassing.
They were from the Bill Leff School of Security Guards.
Yes.
Is that Kevin who they were getting their orders from on the little earbuds?
Yeah, I was talking to him.
Don't let him in.
On the CB radio.
Yeah, don't let him turn around. The statue's right behind
him. Watch him like a bug.
Right. The eagle is right behind him.
Don't let him see the eagle. All right, I have to ask you, I hope you're aware of this joke. There was a joke on Roseanne Barr's show 2 weeks ago that she's still getting heat for. Wendy and I talked about it a little bit. This is where she and Dan, have you been watching the Roseanne show at all?
I've seen a couple of them. I'm not sure. Right. I saw the first one, and I'm not sure, maybe one other one.
In episode 3, because the first night it was on, they did back-to-backs. They did episode 1 and 2 on the first night.
I saw both of those, right.
So on episode 3, Roseanne and John Goodman's character, Dan, they're asleep on the couch.
Right.
I want to get the wording right because I want to make sure that we get this totally in context. So Dan says, oh, we slept right through Wheel of Fortune and Kimmel, right? What did we miss? And then she says, they're just like us. They're all caught. Now you're all caught up, as if to kind of dismiss those shows. You know, she's referring to Blackish and Just Off the Boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's her way of saying, you didn't miss a thing. Every week it's the same. It's just it's a black family or an Asian family. And at the end, the lesson that we've all learned is they're just like us, right? But people are up in arms saying you're trivializing the black experience and the Asian experience. Yeah. But I think she's not. I think she's just making fun of those shows, isn't she?
Well, probably.
There's not a lot of struggle involved in those shows. So I think she's just saying they're just a family like ours. That's what I took it to mean.
Is it, or is it playing on her conservative bias that her persona now has?
Yeah,
that could be too.
That saying you didn't miss anything, it's the
probably,
same plot line, and trivializing the, as you said, the black experience, the Asian experience, anything but the, you know, the white Anglo-Saxon experience that she's had.
You think in a time where right now there are several shows, there's the two we just mentioned, the Goldbergs is the Jewish version of that. I'm trying to remember
They were Jewish for the first 8 seasons I watched that show.
The name wasn't the tip-off to you?
I thought maybe, but I didn't see much.
Boy, they have a lot of friends
Murray,
who are rabbis.
Enjoy that candle that they have there. You could put 8 different candles in it.
I didn't know.
The rabbi scenes didn't do anything?
Nope.
No?
There wasn't a lot of rabbi scenes. I'm telling you, Bev Goldberg, I've watched every episode of that show.
The yarmulkes?
Well, that's when I figured it out.
Okay, right.
When Jeff Garland parts the Red Sea, That didn't do
nothing. When Menachem Begin did a guest shot on the show, you didn't say, hey.
They didn't have Jewish food. They didn't have very many Jewish customs.
Adam's history teacher, Moshe Dayan.
That didn't do anything?
No.
No? All right.
I didn't know that the magic door with Tiny Tove was Jewish either.
Yeah.
One of our favorite shows.
You know I was
in
on
our
that,
non-Jewish
right?
home. I didn't know
I
that.
I did a couple of
in
years
the later,
on that show.
He was in the magic door the later years. Yeah.
Is that like Saved by the Bell the later years?
Yes. Same producers.
Tinier Tove.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what right. the deal is with this Roseanne thing, but...
People are boycotting the show. They're saying she's been insensitive to minorities.
It's the highest rated show on ABC right now.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm sorry.
The latest ratings that are out, it's the highest rated show on ABC. Amazing.
They even did last Saturday, ABC was smart enough to do a special about the revisiting of Roseanne. Joy Behar hosted a one-hour special, and I watched that. I thought that was really good.
Yeah. It's interesting. This whole... Let's bring back old shows phenomena is very interesting to me. I find it amusing because I'm so curious to see what they're going to do with Murphy Brown when that comes out.
I am too. And Mad About You.
And Mad About You. I'm so curious because I think both of those were just, by the time they went off the air, were fairly mediocre shows.
Yeah.
I love the new Will and Grace.
Me too.
It's really funny.
It is.
I haven't watched it. I didn't watch the old one.
And I'm terrified that we are never going to get any new shows ever again.
Just revisits.
Yeah, we're gonna. That's just.
If they said to you, Dean, it's up to you. We'll bring back any show you want from the past. We'll put it back on the air. What show would it be?
Oh boy. Well, see, I think one of the greatest sitcoms of all time is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm not sure enough time has passed to bring that back again.
And no Peter Boyle.
No Peter Boyle.
Both parents. The mom and dad.
No Doris Roberts.
Yeah.
Marie Barone that were
Raymond.
Such incredibly important parts of the show. And one of the little boys.
Oh,
the little
yeah.
twins who committed suicide.
Oh, yeah. It
was sad. Terrible. So but that would be sad. But that's one of those shows
Everybody
that I could
Raymond.
Watch it all the time. And
Wendy, which one for you? Would you bring back any show you could bring it back?
I would say the Brady Bunch, but you can't recreate what they had. They tried
and
it.
And they've tried a few times.
Yeah. Maybe Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome Back, Cotter.
With
but you're missing
Travolta now.
You're missing some hedgehogs, though.
I think just in the spirit of that nostalgia, I'm going to go back to WNUA for a couple of the three longest years of my life to still see if it was as painful as it was the first time.
Oh, that would be a fun visit.
I'd watch.
Do you know I'm still in electroshock therapy?
Because of that?
Every time I hear a Kenny G song, I go into severe depression.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Look
at Dean's vibrating.
Don't do that.
That's not good.
Well, that's,
Dean Richards, that's
thank
a separate
God I got
matter.
Fresh batteries before I came in here.
Dean Richards is here. We told you he'd be in the flesh. He just proved that.
Oh,
I will
no.
find out what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. We're talking movies and entertainment in general with Dean Richards, who's also a general, we just found out. A couple of comedies opening this weekend. Let's start out with I Feel Pretty.
Is Amy Schumer's new movie. Are you a fan of Amy Schumer?
I like her a lot,
Do you hate her as much as you do Kevin Hart?
No, I was a fan of Amy Schumer, and then
Wendy
I stopped
no
kind
longer.
Of liking
What happened?
Her.
What happened? What turned?
She...
Because I think I'm the same way.
Oh, no.
I'm okay with a woman being bawdy and but she was just saying things for shock value and not really being funny to me. And also, it didn't help that people were accusing her of stealing material.
Mm.
Those two things combined made me not as excited about her.
I find a lot of contradiction in what she does of the bawdiness and, being like over the edge. And then suddenly she's, Miss Responsibility and trying to tell, perfect stories with pretty bows on them and nice morals. Oh.
That's not her stuff.
Either commit to the R-rated comedy or don't.
Yeah.
Because to me, it hardly ever works together. And I think that's part of what's going on with this new movie, I Feel Pretty. She's her typical bawdy Amy Schumer kind of character. She is a woman with curves, I think, is the polite way to say it these days. She's not a Barbie doll kind of character whatsoever. But she goes to a spinning class, takes a terrible fall off of one of those bikes, which I've long said are dangerous and really should be banned anyway. There's nothing good comes from those spinning classes that everybody goes to. As you will see in this Amy Schumer movie, she falls off the bike, she hits her head, and when she regains consciousness, she's hallucinating that she is like a Barbie doll character, that she's supermodel gorgeous. She can't believe how she's changed.
Yeah.
Suddenly she's got all the confidence in the world and all the bravado in the world, and nothing stops her, and she lives her life that way, even though really not one thing has changed.
Yeah.
Except that she's got a big bump on her head and that her hair got caught in the spokes of one of those bikes. Ooh. And it ripped a big patch of hair out. So this movie is about this new persona where it's the same Amy with curves,
yeah,
walking around in super tight supermodel clothes and flaunting it and acting like a supermodel, losing her old friends along the way because they don't like that she's changed her persona, yeah, gaining new friends, I would say kind of shallow and empty sort of friends along the way, gains a new boyfriend, and then what happens? She goes back on that bike, hits her head again, wow, and she's suddenly back to being regular old Amy again.
That's how it happens.
Trying to undo the things that got done,
yeah,
while she was hallucinating. So the movie, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
it's a movie really that's a lesson about fat shaming and about bullying and treating people different ways because of the way that they look. I like all that part, yeah, in it. But I'm not sure that all the R-ratedness of it goes along with this moral lesson that she's trying to teach.
Maybe.
At the same time. It's only
conflicting views.
A little bit moderately funny, I think, is what I
ended up with. Did she write this one, Dean, or not write this?
I don't. I'd have to look that up. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Right.
But she stars in this movie with some really, I think, outshining her in this movie are some of the supporting roles, like Michelle Williams, who plays a cosmetics company company owner.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandmother is also starring in the movie, who is the famous model from the 1980s. The name is going to completely escape me here. I had it up on my computer a second ago, and will not be able to find it again.
A supermodel from the 80s?
Yeah.
Is it Cheryl Teagues?
It's Lauren Hutton.
Oh, Lauren Hutton.
It's Lauren Hutton.
From American Gigolo. With Richard Gere.
Yeah, exactly right. So there are some really, really great supporting performances, yeah, in this movie.
Edie Bryant, right?
Edie Bryant from Saturday Night Live is in it. Tom Hopper plays her boyfriend in this movie. I think those are great. So I didn't hate this movie completely. I wound up giving it Dean's List C plus.
Not terrible.
On this one. Not terrible.
What did you think of Snatch, the movie she made with Goldie Hawn about a year ago?
I liked that.
I thought that was really funny. Movie.
Yeah, it fell under a barrage of terrible reviews, which really surprised me because I thought it was kind of funny.
I felt like The In-Laws with women, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
Too, that she and Goldie
in-laws.
Hawn, yeah, had pretty great chemistry,
yeah,
together. So I did like that one. Now, are you familiar with this cult classic from the year 2001 called Super Troopers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever see that? Did you,
mm-hmm,
both see it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you love it?
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny.
I liked it.
I liked it very much. And tomorrow opening will be Super Troopers 2 that brings back every single one of the characters, every single one of the main guys for the movie. J. Chandra Sekhar, who is in the movie, he's the East Indian,
yes,
character in the movie. He also wrote and directed the original movie and also this one. So it's got that very same sensibility. He co-wrote the movie with the other guys in what they call the Broken Lizard comedy group.
Yeah.
That's how they all met. Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan, Eric Stolhansky, and Peter Soder. They're all back together again, once again, as the five Vermont state troopers. This time, in a sort of a jurisdictional fight in a small Canadian border town over who has rights to a particular geographic area. So there are these guys, but also the dopey Canadian Mounted Police versions of these guys,
yeah,
on the other side that are doing battle the whole time. That this movie if you love the first movie, you're going to love this one because it's just as silly,
yeah,
and just as stupid.
Why did it take so long between movies? I thought they'd do a sequel almost immediately, and it took forever.
Funding,
is that what it was?
Money issues. Yeah. The original movie made about $32 million, which isn't all that much, right, you know, by blockbuster standards, but it only cost them about $2 million to make that original movie, so they had a tremendous profit margin in the whole thing, plus all the guys were doing a little different projects along the way, so I think that was part of it. But what really this movie reminded me of was Police Squad.
Yeah.
Or Airplane.
Yeah.
Where it's just one ridiculous thing happening after another, nonstop, silly, ridiculous things. Normally, I'm here with my movie critic hat on every week going, oh, we must have story before we have anything else. And story arc must make sense, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This one, it doesn't. This one is just silly. One silly R-rated, very R-rated laugh after another. Many of the originals from the original movie are back. Some of the people who did little supporting roles in the movie are back again in this one. So if you like the first one, you're going to like this one again. If you like just something that's complete, total mind candy, I think you're going to like Super Troopers. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Oh, that's great. And I believe Justin Kaufman has a couple of the stars on his show tonight. So if you're a fan of Super Troopers, listening, he's got that going.
Much funnier than Kevin Hart, got to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
It's pretty funny.
I think so, too.
It's pretty funny. You know, here's part of my the way that I judge these movies. Often I see them at night.
Yeah.
I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the TV morning show.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty tired by 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I have to, usually the movies, this movie's about an hour and a half, but usually there's about 2 hours. I'm pretty tired by the time I'm seeing a movie. So if it doesn't grab my attention, like in the first 10 minutes,
you're out.
Nighty night. Yeah. Often literally. I'm not lying.
Up.
I'm not lying. I was sitting there like an idiot laughing out loud.
I was good.
Laughing out loud at some of the silly things that were happening in this movie. So,
hi, Mark's from
Dean's List B on this one.
I love it. Dean, thank you. Great to see you in person.
Nice to see both of you. And I want to recommend that everyone go to Wendy's Facebook page and look at the performance of your son, Michael, right?
Yes.
Michael playing Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. It was a while ago. Wendy just pointed it out to me. And
I'm so proud of him because when that live thing came on Easter Sunday, I thought, my Judas was better than that Judas.
Oh.
Your Judas is pretty damn good. Oh.
Dean's List?
I'll say. I give it an A.
A. That's high praise.
It's one thing to have somebody just have a nice voice, but there's like a stage presence that you have, a dramatic quality there. You've got a little superstar on your hands.
Thank you.
Oh. Hi, Mark.
A traitor, though.
Highly recommended. What else am I going to say? She's sitting here
right
in front
here.
Of me.
You can't say anything bad. Exactly. That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.